Hey, we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is Land of the Lemmings. And I want to thank loyal listener Bill, an amazing man with an amazing wife that support me in many ways and are trying to call in. I just got a phone call during the break. The phone apparently is not working. I just sent a message to somebody from the station who was listening and writing me encouraging straight messages that the phone is not working. And Bill was trying to call in to uplift me, even though I got a call from him this morning that his much-loved critter, Mickey, the cat, had died this morning. So I just want to make it clear. I know that there are good people out there. There are people that keep me going. There are people that are with me on, you know, every level in trying to help to bring about a change in consciousness and turn things around. And I just want to make it clear that I am very grateful for their support. However, as I said, there's just been a lot of things that have happened the past week. And, of course, finding out about the death of this wonderful critter this morning did not help matters any. But, you know, the bottom line is we can turn things around. I know the truth will win out in the end. See, that's the weird thing. I know this. It's every fiber of my being, every molecule in every cell in my body, I know this. That's why I keep doing what I do. But as I keep hearing from the lemmings who keep doing what they're doing, like I said, especially this very nice man I met last night who watched both of his parents be killed in the same hospital and then he went there. Not only for his first heart attack, but they threw him up and then he went back again. Now, I don't know how he escaped. You know, how they, you know, somehow fixed him. We'll see how long that lasts because, you know, he's got this piece of metal in his coronary artery now. And that is the same as having a blood clot. As soon as that piece of wire, that straw, you know, with one beat, that's the wrong beat. Maybe you have a little bit of an arrhythmia. And a heartbeat and that straw decides to pull. You've got a collision of the blood vessel of the heart. To have something like that done is insane. And as I said, even the medical journals have admitted that that's part of the way to go because it does more harm than good. But there's so many instances of this. For example, one of my favorite tests that they do on people is the stress test. And I've talked about this before, but let me go into this again. Because I'm trying to give some of you mind control weapons for the lemmings in your family. Okay, so you have somebody in your family that's having chest pain. They go to the cardiologist. What is the first thing the cardiologist does? Does an EKG. Oftentimes, non-specific changes, whatever. Then they schedule you for a stress test. What is a stress test? A stress test, well, there's actually two kinds now. There's a kind where they can actually put you on a treadmill and exercise you to the point of a pure exhaustion, which you would never do in everyday life, because if you're having, you know, shortness of breath or chest pain or whatever, you're not going to keep doing it, whatever the exercise is, once those symptoms occur. But with a stress test, that's exactly what they do. They put you up on that treadmill, they stick the EKG monitors on you, and they get you to start running. And basically, they keep you running until you show signs of a heart attack. That's what stress test is. And people don't realize, I know, from working in a hospital, but when they have a stress test scheduled, they always make sure they have a room open in the operating room because they know that there's a very good chance that you are going to need to have a operation on your heart or a heart catheterization after the stress test causes you to have the symptoms of a heart attack. Now, if you're so physically, uninclined to do physical exercise that you can't do the treadmill thing, now they've developed another way to stress your heart, and that involves putting radioactive drugs in you and other things to get your heart beating very fast. And it's pretty much the same thing, only you're being radiated as well. So that's another very common thing that they do. And, you know, that's what, you know, I really suggest. Of course, I don't give medical advice. I don't practice medicine. I can tell you what I'm doing for you. However, if you have somebody in your family that's going down that path, you know, just try to ask them some questions to get their mind to open. Such as, okay, Dad, you're having shortness of breath and chest pain as you walk up the stairs. What do you think is going to happen if you get on a treadmill and start running? You think you're going to have a heart attack. Now, if Dad says, well, you know, that's what the doctor wants me to have, just kiss him goodbye. Because this is what's going on, and this is what they do. And, you know, this is my frustration. I realize that the reason I went through my, quote-unquote, medical education is so that I could see what's going on. Because the higher consciousness of the universe, whatever name you want to give it, knew I had a conscience, gave me a conscience, and said, okay, we're going to stick her right in the den of the beast and let her see what's going on. Because we know what she's going to do once she gets out of there, and that's what I'm trying to do. So I need all of you to help me. If, you know, I understand everybody's being financially destroyed. I mean, even people that have paid off their mortgages are losing their houses. I mean, it's all going down the tube. So, you know, it's nice that people can support financially, but the most important thing is to support the information, getting the word out there. That's the most important thing. And I do understand your families aren't listening. That's why I always tell people my family doesn't listen, so that you will be able to extricate yourself from that bloodline connection. It means nothing. If they're brain dead, they're gone. There's nothing you can do. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's harder to wake up the people in your family than it is total strangers. So, you know, and that's hard. I know that's hard, you know. My family is my family, but I don't waste a minute of time on them because they're learning. What I do wish is that people that go to quote-unquote churches, you know, these places where they're supposed to be telling us about, you know, truth, and spread some information in those places. It's very obvious that those places have been taken over by the psychopaths as well. Everything is occupied by the Zionists. But you never know. You may be able to kind of put them up against the wall and say, look, Pastor, they're using aborted fetuses to make vaccines. And you're not talking about it. Why? And if you're not talking about it, why should we be putting money in your plate? Especially if you're running vaccine clinics at the back of the church. Those are called hard questions. And that's what we need to do, is ask everybody hard questions. And, you know, I'm not looking to make friends. I ask her a question. if you can't deal with my hard questions, then you're a minion, in my opinion. And it goes both ways. Anybody can ask me any hard question they want. I can't get people on my show, especially the West Coast, to answer my hard questions about baking and why that. Okay, I know none of you can call in. I'm sorry about that. I sent a message to the station. We'll see what happens. We'll be right back. I'll continue my rant.
Imagine a world with natural clouds, clean air, clean water, and natural food. Why in the world are they spraying?
Okay, I'm getting calls. I know the number is not working. People are still trying. We have somebody from the station listening to the show, and they're working on the problem with the phone number. It's self-evident to me that somebody doesn't want my information to go off. But I'm used to that. That's how it works. And actually, for all you minions involved in this, that's what keeps me going. It does not depress me or, you know, make me lose hope or whatever. That's what makes me yawn right over the target. So keep making me yawn. Keep causing interference with Skype and my computer. Keep doing all these things. Because that's what lets me know. I am apparently a very dangerous mosquito to you psychopaths. You don't want me buzzing around. And that just wants me to buzz all the more. So it's funny how that's working out. Okay. I love to talk to listeners, and I'm sorry you can't get through. But let me just keep going on with some other information I want to share with you. One of which is a client of mine from many years ago had contacted me that he wanted me to get involved with some kind of a document that he had obtained from the internet in regards to not allowing your organs to be used for organ donation. And I just want to let you know, it doesn't matter what document you have. If you end up in a hospital, the first thing they're going to do is take a blood sample from you. And if you have a very unique and rare blood type, and especially if they have somebody with lots of cash that needs your organ, you're going to die. They're going to take your organ. And it doesn't matter what document you have, or who you have, you know, specified on a card in your wallet that they want you to call. So I have absolutely no interest in getting involved with such situations. First of all, it would require me to travel to wherever you are, and my life would be at risk. Just entering the hospital because there are national security letters about me in regards to killing me if I should be foolish enough to show up in a hospital. That situation I mentioned earlier where my friend's daughter had a baby, you know, that was a unique case because they didn't know I was coming. They didn't call me. I just kind of showed up. And then I left. Once the birth was over. But in terms of getting involved with situations where, you know, you're potentially going to have your organs taken, there's nothing you can do except for not going to the hospital. So if you're in a car accident or something like that, you know, that's a big problem. And we're all in that situation. That's the only reason I would ever go into the hospital is if I got in a car accident. And I was comatose, and they brought me there, because otherwise I would find a way to go home and, you know, manage things myself if I had to set my own broken leg, whatever. That's what I would do, because of what I know. So I'm just letting you know that this is another danger, organ stealing. They are stealing people's organs. And if you have, as I said, a unique blood type or if they have somebody on their list that needs an organ, and you have a compatibility with that psychopath, no doubt they're going to be a psychopath, they're going to take your organ. And they're going to do whatever they have to do to get your organ. So just have that in the back of your mind as you're considering going into the emergency room for any quote-unquote treatment. Because that is reality. And, actually, I was kind of shocked that this person didn't realize that. That they thought that they could write, you know, sign a little card and say, I'm not going to allow my organ to be used for donation or experimentation, whatever. And that they would put my name on the card and that somehow I would, you know, do magic. Let's go change it. Oh, okay. This person doesn't want their organ to be used. Ergo, you can't have the organ. What am I going to do? You know, it's ridiculous. But people have a lot of faith in their contract and their different things that they're told to sign. Actually, it was like an amazing revelation of how Zuckerman of Facebook is a total psychopath. When one of the first things that he did after Facebook was public is get people to sign up for organ donation on Facebook. I mean, think about that. That is some pretty sick stuff. The ghouls want your organ. And, you know, tell others in the Facebook community to do so because they won't honor a card in your wallet that says, don't do it. But if you've got a Facebook card that says that you said you would do it, well then, there you go. You will do it, even if you don't want to do it. Okay. The next thing I wanted to bring up is I'm constantly monitoring television and the news. As I've mentioned many times, I read the Charlotte Observer, charlotteobserver.com, to find out, you know, what they're feeding the sheep. Another Zionist controlled newspaper with total crap as a general rule, but I do get some little tidbits of gold from the newspaper on some, you know, selected topic. And on October 23rd, on page 2D, there was an article, you can access it, it's entitled Patient Relieved by Drug Removal, and this talks about the fact that David Sheets, and these are two people, married couple that are both pharmacists, Joe and Terry Grady. They got a letter from somebody that says, I'm so relieved that the Food and Drug Administration finally got the antidepressant Bupivacaine XL off the market. Years ago, my insurance company switched me from Wellbutrin to Bupivacaine. Within a short time, I became suicidal, depressed, and anxious. I couldn't imagine what it cost to change. I was making plans to kill myself. When it finally occurred to me that I was medication, I went back on the Wellbutrin at my own expense and felt better almost immediately. So you see, this is another example, just as I was talking about before, of how your insurance is no longer going to cover the quote-unquote, you know, prescribed drugs by the doctors. They're going to give you the generic. And this is the case. And the insurance company makes the decision to put you on the generic. The generic ends up causing you to kill yourself. So then you're off the dole altogether. And that's what they want. Or you can pay for it out of pocket yourself. Now, of course, you know, the better thing to do is to find out whether after you depressed, maybe you know what's going on in the world, and maybe you need to network with some others who know what's going on, or whatever. Maybe you need to eat good food, maybe you need to drink good water, maybe you need to just get away from the white coat. But this is a really important, you know, little tidbit that they bring out. And of course, the person writing the letter also says that for years I've been telling doctors that I wouldn't take this eudephrine. They all thought I was crazy. Thank you for alerting people to the problem through your website. And see, that's what these pharmacists do. You know, they're pharmacists, so they can't go too far out of the limb because the FDA and Big Pharma will cut the limb off and they'll be gone. But they did bring out this little factoid, which is very good. And that's what I always talk about. You know, you got to check out the side effects of any drug that you're taking, type in the name of the drug, type the side effect, read it to yourself, or the scholars, and then, you know, realize that you're the same for taking it in the first place. Okay. But another very important question they were asked at the end of the article is something that I had not heard about. And so listen closely, people. Anybody with food allergies to beef, pork, or lamb? This is the question. I have had serious allergic reactions for almost 20 years and have almost died 3 times. Despite me almost dying 3 times. Doctors told me that my allergies to beef, pork, or lamb were all in my head. When I needed open heart surgery, I mentioned my allergies. The surgeon sent my blood to the University of Virginia, and I was diagnosed with an anti-gal allergy. Alpha. Alpha-gal allergy. And this is what the pharmacist responded to. I had never heard of this. This chick-induced allergy to meat can cause symptoms such as hives, digestive distress, and difficulty breathing. Anaphylactic shock. This is the same category as the children that have peanut allergies. This reaction is mysterious because it can occur hours after eating. Poultry and fish do not trigger some signs. Well, myself having, you know, my delusional conspiracy, as soon as I read that this was a chick-induced allergy to meat, beef, pork, or lamb, I immediately realized this is another emerging organism. They have created this. It's spread by a chick. It's, you know, just like Lyme's disease. They put this out there because, you see, how could they know to check for it unless they created it in the first place? And that is the reason that the Masonic surgeon doing the open heart surgery for this person knew to send the blood sample to the University of Virginia, because I'm sure that's where it was created. So, this is how bad it is, folks. They have now developed a organism, and they don't say anything else about it except that it's spread by a tick. So I don't know if it's a virus or some kind of other spider key or whatever it is. But you see, being bit by a tick is very similar to being injected with a vaccination. It's going to cause a autoimmune reaction, allergic response, and in this case, it's against all these meats. You can't make this stuff up, people. This is what you're paying your taxes for. Are you gonna go vote? We'll be right back after this. Okay, sorry, I thought I heard the music. Very strange things happening on the computer. Okay. I'm getting a message from the station. Very sorry the callers can't get through. Thank you for working on it. But this is what happens when I'm on the air. Alright. Here's another article. Charlotte Observer. Thursday, October 26th from 12, page 98. Title, Scientists Create Embryos with Genes from Three People. Great. The mad scientists continue to play around with our genes. And of course, it's self-evident that the reason we have so many fertility clinics being created around the country is because people are being made infertile, primarily from vaccines, but I'm sure GMO food is involved as well. This way they can determine who has children, because unless you have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for the fertility treatment, you won't be able to have a child. But what are they doing? They're creating embryos and genes from three people. How can you trust these people to create an embryo for you? How do you know what the mad scientists are going to do to people for fertility treatment? You believe they're going to take your husband's sperm and your egg and they're going to, you know, have them reproduce in a petri dish and then create an embryo and, you know, plant it into your uterus? I don't know if I would believe that, because now they've figured out a way to take somebody else's DNA and stick it into your embryo. And why would they do that? And for what purpose would they do that? And what is going to come out of you when you give birth? What kind of monster? What kind of transhuman? And how do you know if the new gene being inserted is even going to be from a human to begin with? It could be from a psychopath. It could be from an animal. It could be from a plant. Now they're making genetically modified humans. Okay? Nobody has oversight over this. No agency controls this. They're allowed to do whatever they want. And, you know, they put these little articles in the paper. I call it notice of grace. I've been told by others that the Luciferians, based on their insane code of ethics, which is really strange to even use that term to describe what they do, but they have to tell us what they're doing. So they use the media and movies to tell us what they're doing. So what are you going to do? Are you going to read this article? Are you going to go to your elected official and say, elected official, I'm outraged. The scientists are creating embryos, genetically modified humans. This is an outrage. They're going to laugh. That is if they even let you in the door. They may even charge you with harassment for raising your voice. You don't have enough cash. to get them to care about what you say. So who are you going to call? You know, that's how I started off the show. With this group in California that I was doing calls every Wednesday from 9 to 11 p.m. my time, even though that's very late for me because I get up extremely early and I did not want to do these calls in the first place. But I did it because I thought maybe I could wake some people up. But the answer was, it's not going to happen. Because they wanted to know who they're going to call and what about Tylenol. You know, after weeks of telling them everything I'm told them. And this is how this whole Lemmings thing came to me. And also, you know, brought home by the person I talked to yesterday that I told you about, who watched both of his parents be killed in this hospital and then went there himself when he had a heart attack. And then went back after they gave him another heart attack. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to push people out of that. Because unfortunately, yes, the word is getting out there. I'm hearing from more and more people all the time. I get so many emails that I tell people to call me instead of email me if you want to ask about a consult or something, because it's growing. I mean, the response is growing and the word is getting out there. But we have so many of these lemming people amongst us. And it's not just that they're amongst us, it's that they are hurting us, the people of conscience who know what's going on. If you have lemmings in your family, then, you know, you are bound to get involved in a wastage of time trying to make them see that they're lemmings. It doesn't work. So that's something that I wanted to, you know, concentrate and think about and put out there to all of you loyal listeners. In case you have any ideas, anything that you've tried that's actually made one of your lemming relatives say, wait a minute, you're right. Radiation causes cancer. Why am I getting radiation for my cancer? Thank you, relative. I'm not going to do that anymore. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to detox my radiation, and I'm going to eat good food, and I'm going to reverse the cause of the cancer instead of doing more things that cause cancer. If any of you found a way to break through, let me know. Because I have not. I can't do it with my own family, and I don't waste my time with people that call me. So many people call me with this problem in their family. But my answer to them is, no, I have the same problem in my family. I have not figured out an antidote to being a lemming. I figured out the cause of all disease. I figured out how to reverse all disease, but I have not figured out how to unprogram a lemming. And that's a big idea that I would like to figure out. Okay. Another message from somebody working at the network. They're working on it. Okay, for this week. But thank you, Orion Network people, for trying to get communication problems. I know what's happening. We'll be charged. Okay, we'll be back after the messages for the last segment. Thank you. Okay, folks, we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today is Land of the Lemmings. There's multiple people that have contacted me from Orion. They're not sure why this is happening. They're still working on it. Very weird. Well, I know why it's happening, because my information is getting out there to a large group of people. And especially in a show like this, where I've asked for the listeners to, you know, help me see the light, you know. It's all good, right? We're making progress, type thing. So, actually, it's kind of funny that it's backfired on them, because I realize that this is the reason that they're playing with Skype and the phone on the station. And it's happened so many times, and it's happened to different stations that I'm on. And so I just view this as self-evident proof that I'm over the target. And one of my loyal listeners just called me from the break from California to say he came it through. I know he came it through. Stations are working out. There's nothing I can do. And it's not going to happen until after the show is over. I suspect the next show will have no problems with the phone. You know, and it'll be interesting how that works out. But I know the station's doing everything they can, so I do appreciate that. Also, just to give you another update, the invitation I sent to Vaccine Minion, Spiderman at gmail.com, sent him an email asking him to be on my show to discuss the propaganda that he sent out on September 29th involving how important it is to get flu vaccines. I'm sure there's no surprise to any of you. He has not gotten back to me. And others sent him emails as well, including Sean from Australia, who does the show on this network, Two's Company, Three Vlogs, which I was on his show a couple weeks ago. He sent an email to Dr. Schneiderman as well, which he forwarded to me. So apparently Dr. Schneiderman cannot defend himself for what he has done to send out propaganda on a news break that vaccines are good, when in fact they are weapons of mass destruction. And actually, I haven't heard IRN do that anymore, so maybe IRN got a little message from that as well, which is nice. Of course, the rest of the media continues to propagate the lie that vaccines will protect you. Okay, I'm on an email list to find out every Thursday what's on Science Friday is a show on National Public Radio, which is, basically paid for and supported by the likes of Bill Gates, etc. And I'm just on this list to find out, what are these meetings up to. And as I received an email on Thursday about what was on Science Friday yesterday, one of the shows to be discussed was Medusa's Gaze and the Vampire's Bite. What they say. Think monsters are make-believe? In his new book, science journalist Matt Kaplan, too, writes of real-life zombies in Haiti and how rabies infection could explain the vampire's aversion to bones in sunlight. Very interesting. Now, I didn't have time to listen to Science Friday yesterday because I was very busy doing other things, including answering phone calls and things of that nature. But I just thought this was kind of amazing that they have a science journalist writing of real-life zombies. What is this thing about zombies? Why are they keep putting zombies in our face? Why is this happening? As a matter of fact, on The View yesterday, which, I'm always monitoring these different shows as I'm working on my computer and such, they had a whole segment on zombie-themed Halloween parties. They have zombie candy you can eat. Zombie drinks that you can drink. Drinks that taste better than blood. I mean, this stuff is sick. Okay? And, knowing what I know about the different agencies and how they'll protect us, as a matter of fact, my newsletter this week, if you go to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, click on the link section, go to the bottom of the page, you can sign up for the American Survival newsletter I contribute to every week. And this week's newsletter was Sailing America. The answer was perfume and cosmetics. And I informed the listeners about the poisons in your perfume and cosmetics, including the best example, Lady Gaga's new perfume, which has her blood, some man's semen, and the deadly nightshade belladonna plant. That's what's in the perfume. Because you see, there are absolutely no agencies that monitor or make sure that these products are safe. So we can be sure that the information in this book, Medusa's Gaze and the Vampire's Bite by Nat Kaplan, is extremely true, and especially how rabies infection could explain the vampire's aversion to garlic and sunlight. I have talked on the show before. I have the document in regards to the NIH funding of the Whiskers Institute, $500,000 to create an oral rabies virus that can be spread by aerosol, i.e. chemtrails. Rabies is what makes cannibals. The talk of zombies is a sidebar distraction. There may be, quote-unquote, real-life zombies in Haiti. But the people that are eating other people on the streets of America and elsewhere have a rabies infection, in my opinion. They're not the undead. Okay. Well, let me see. All right, I did two shows last Sunday. Was it last Sunday? My shows with Deborah Tavares. No, it was actually 2 weeks ago. Yes, small. On electromagnetic frequencies. Very important shows. On one of the shows, she mentioned a movie, The Cabin in the Woods. I want to strongly recommend that all of you get that movie from Netflix. It's a very important movie showing you the lengths to which the CIA and their video world are going. It's kind of like a combo of Gina and the zombie apocalypse. And, like I said, pretty much shows you what they're actually doing. Because they have to tell us what they're doing. And in this movie, Cabin in the Woods, they are telling us what they're doing. This makes Hunger Games look like a backyard picnic. Okay? But you have to face reality. And one way that you can find out what they're up to, like I said, is to watch science fiction, quote unquote, fiction movies. Okay. We're running out of time. Probably the last thing I'll be able to get to is an interview that I was asked to do for the Green Heritage Journal. Now, this is a very interesting interview, which I did do, and it's now up on their website, Green Heritage Journal. And the interview revolves around the question that they wanted to ask me in regards to what I have found out about the polio vaccine that takes place here in the U.S. and overseas. And, you know, I'm saying to myself, why are people focusing on a vaccine? There's lots of others that are focusing on the Gardasil vaccine. Why are you taking one vaccine out of the whole group of bioweapons? What's going on? So I answered them, polio vaccine is a bioweapon like all other vaccines. Get it through your head, people. They're all bad. Okay, there's music. Thank you, people who tried to call in. Thank you, Eastern people who tried to fix the phone. Sure to find a solution by next week. I'm just talking to my listeners. All right, tune in tomorrow. Sunday, we change the times with Clayton Douglas, and on RBN, we'll be back.
OrionTalkRadio.com. You could say that we're all soft.
Now, the question is, was it the hat conspiracy that the official story would have us believe that it